like the young girls that we're trying to reach through Thrive. Joseph and Mary are like the people who are trying to cross the flood to get to the clinic in Sudan. Joseph and Mary were ordinary, plain people. Yet God entered space-time through his son Jesus Christ, and he entered a plain and ordinary family. Nothing special about these people at all. They're only special now because they responded to God's intervention. We know from a different text that when the angel came to Mary and said that you are going to conceive by the Holy Spirit, her response was, what? No, that's going to be a hassle. It's inconvenient to get pregnant right now. I'm not married. It'll be scandalous. Her response was, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wills, I will submit to his will. Whatever God wants to do with me and through me, I will do. And her response to God's intervention in her life, that's what made her a hero of the faith. Amen? But besides what God did, and besides her response, she was just a plain and ordinary person. And there's an important lesson here for us, okay? It's a very important lesson for us. When Jesus became a man, he came through ordinary people. He came not only through ordinary people, but people that we, by our standards, would say are poor people. So Jesus comes in humanity. He comes in poverty. And by doing so, what he does is Jesus ennobles the value of ordinary human life. We live in a culture that has been called a culture of death in America. That's why we need ministries like Thrive. Amen? Because in our nation, thousands of children are aborted every year. What is the new statistic? 1 million are aborted? We live in a culture where life is no longer held to be sacred. And yet the ultimate act of ennobling human life is when God became a man all the way through this, all the stages of humanity, from conception all the way to a human death. So Jesus ennobled life by his incarnation, but he also ennobled womanhood and motherhood. You know, he could have come as a man and not gone through all those stages. He could have come in a way, just appeared on the scene when he was 30 years old, said, here I am, I'm ready to start my ministry, and not even really had a human family. He could have come not through a woman, but he came through a woman, and by doing so, he ennobled, I believe, womanhood and motherhood. This is also a lesson we need today, as we live in a culture where, what, half of our marriages are failing, where now in our culture we have more children going to sleep in a home where there's only one parent than in a home where there are two parents. And what's sad about the liberation of our culture, the sexual moral liberation of our culture, is you know who the losers have been? Do you know? The losers have been women. Because now, as a result of the sexual liberation of the 60s and 70s, there are now more women living in poverty than then. There are more single women living with children in poverty now than then. That has been the fruit of the liberation. And it's very sad. And we live in a society that's not valuing life, but not valuing motherhood. How many of you women here have seen that certain look when you tell someone you have 4 or 5 kids? Right? You've seen that look, right? The shock, the awe, or the smirk, or the giggle. Well, that was when I was a child, having 4 or 5 kids was normal. But no longer. Because we have devalued life, but also devalued the family and devalued motherhood. Jesus raised up life. He raised up motherhood. And these are lessons we desperately need today. Amen? When we think about the incarnation, we can draw these lessons, and they ought to therefore impact the way that we live. Because you know what Christianity is? You know what real Christianity is? You know what the mission of the church is? The mission, do you want to know? Say yes. The mission of the church is to continue what the incarnation started. Because Jesus came in flesh to reveal the Father, to seek and to save that which is lost, to destroy the works of the devil, right? Jesus came to do that. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, he rose from the dead, he's ascended into heaven. Now my question is his work done? Is it? No, his work is not done. His work continues. Is Jesus on the earth now? Where is he? He's in his church, because his church is his body. So the body of Christ, the church, is to be following the direction of the head who's enthroned, and he is continuing the ministry that he started when he came. So Jesus still values human life, amen? He still values family, amen? He still values motherhood, amen? He still values the poor and the needy and the ordinary. And he's still working to fulfill those purposes, but he's working through you and I, the church. So, you and I are called to remember the poor and the needy, the ordinary, the forgotten, those that are not celebrities, those that you would just pass by. We are called to remember that God wants to intervene in the life of plain, ordinary people. You know, we spend a lot of time over the holidays with family and friends, and sometimes the people that are the most familiar are the ones we take the most for granted. They're just plain. They're just ordinary. They're not on TV. They've never written a famous song. They've never written a famous book. They've never been on radio. They're just plain, ordinary people. You know what? Those are the people that Jesus died for. Amen? And some of those are friends that you have or family that you have, and God wants to intervene in their life, but he's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through you. The angel tree ministry, this life tree, what a great opportunity to say, Jesus values life. And I'm the body. We are the body of Jesus. So we're going to demonstrate his love for life by supporting a ministry like that. So at this time of year, let's remember the less fortunate. Let's remember the plain and ordinary, and let's celebrate the value of life. Amen? Because if ever the incarnation means anything, it means that human life is valuable. Because Jesus, who was God, took upon himself humanity, and he ennobled it, and he raised it up. And then the goal of that incarnation, that birth, was that he would die for the sake of humanity. That he would die for plain and ordinary men and women. He values them. He values their life enough to give his own life. And that's the values we ought to have in our church. Amen? So let's remember the plain. Let's remember the needy. Remember the woman in a crisis pregnancy. Remember the people that need a box or two of food. And let's live out some of the very simple but profound lessons of the incarnation. Let's stand together and pray. Father, I want to thank you for all the work that we heard about today. It's astounding, Lord, how you're working both here and around the world, to think that we can partner with Sarah, that through our gifts and our prayers, Lord, lives are being touched in Africa. Lord, it's exciting to be part of what you're doing. We're so grateful that you use plain, ordinary people like us to reach plain and ordinary people around us. I want to thank you for the work of Thrive. Thank you for the work of Liberty for Life and for Tom and all his prayer and effort in that ministry. Lord, give us a heart for the unborn. Give us a heart for those women, Lord, that have made poor choices and are struggling. Help us to not just curse the darkness, but to be the light. Not just to curse abortion, but to be a helping and supporting hand to these women that are confused. Father, give us a heart for the needy. Give us a heart to feed the hungry and the struggling around us. I pray, God, that every one of us here would at least once volunteer for Angel Food, just once, and to see what you're doing there, and to see your heart reaching out to those people. We thank you, God, for using us. It is such an honor and privilege, but we give you all the glory for all that you've done. We pray in your name. Amen.